So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Kelty Mental Health Resource Center's Pinwheel Education Series on Promoting Mental Wellness in the School Setting. The Pinwheel Education Series is a monthly forum that brings together experts and persons with lived experience to talk about mental health and mental wellness. Everything related to the Pinwheel series, including a recording of today's session, can be found at www.keltymentalhealth.ca/pinwheel. Now, for those of you that are joining us for the first time, the Kelty Mental Health Resource Center is a provincial mental health and substance use information and resource center serving BC children, youth, and families. We also offer peer support to families and youth, as well as to people of all ages struggling with eating disorders. You can visit our website for more information, resources, and for our contact information. So I think we'll just go ahead and get started. So our first speaker is Nancy Cardsonis. Nancy is the counseling department head at Eric Hamber Secondary in Vancouver. She's the former critical incident coordinator of Vancouver Schools and former co-chair of Vancouver Secondary Counselors. The Hamber team includes Clive Smith, Natasha Gates, Michael Vesteris, Helen French, and John Lamb. So welcome, Nancy, and go ahead.
Okay, so we do mental health promotion in our schools. We start with our grade eights, and we have an intensive guidance program that we do. So starting in August, we have a barbecue for our new grade eights. Prior to that, we've done a school tour in the spring and visits to the elementary school. We invite the students in for fashion shows, plays, and concerts. In grade 8, we meet with the students out of our PD classes, and we have 6 to 8 lessons. We talk about the role of the counselor, like what does a counselor do, introduction of our grade 12 peer counseling team. We have 18 grade 12s that do peer counseling. We speak to them about confidentiality and limits of confidentiality. We collect their personal information and explain how we're going to contact them by an electronic forum or email or blog. And we do communication in person and virtually with parents as well. So some topics we do in grade 8, we do grade 8, 9, and 10 guidance. We use screening tools as well. So we talk about bullying, anxiety, depression, and we do suicide ideation. We use small screeners at the end of our session. A small screener would be a business card-sized piece of paper with a few key questions. For example, I was bullied in elementary school. I'm currently being bullied. I'd like to speak to a counselor. The students put down their non-identifying information. They use a student number on that. They flip it upside down on the desk, and at the end of the class, we run down the aisles and pick up the screeners from the kids. At the end of after the session, the counselor would meet with the students who've identified they'd like to be seen by the counselor. And after the class, the entire class is sent virtual links with self-help information and more information on the topics. So we do that also for anxiety, depression, and suicide ideation. Normally those are done in grade 8, 9. Suicide prevention is done in the grade 10 level. We also bring in guest speakers. We have anti-homophobia and transphobia workshops by community in Vancouver. Out in schools, we bring in films from out in schools. So we talk to the kids about racism, sexism, anti-homophobia training. And again, we screen the kids, would you like to speak to a counselor regarding these topics, etc. We do mindfulness and stress management. We use some of Dr. Vo's material, YouTube videos, SFU counseling department, some psychiatry videos, and Vancouver Crisis Center. We bring in Vancouver Crisis Center as well for our learning assistance students, and we're thinking of bringing them in for our highly gifted students at this moment. They have a 6 to 8 lesson program. With drug and alcohol education, we network with our SASE, School-Age Child and Youth Program. We're using a Cycles DVD, which is a new DVD talking about marijuana use. My grade 9s were involved in a pilot study with UBC School of Nursing with the Cycles materials, and now we're moving into a parent project with that. We've also used Fourth R materials, ICBC, Road Sense, and additional materials. Sexual health information, we network with Langara and UBC student nurses. It's coordinated by our Vancouver Coastal Health nurse, Jeremy Martin. And for our career information, we work with John Lamb, our career advisor, who runs a blog. Our peer counseling program is integral to our screening for mental health. So this program's been running for over 25 years. Clive Smith, one of our counselors, organizes the program. We select students in the spring. We use a virtual forum for connection, and so after each face-to-face session, Tuesday morning at 7:30, he posts up questions as extensions on the forum. We run videos on the forum, and the kids also connect. It's a virtual threaded forum, so we're looking for themes and links and problems in our school. The students are visible in our school with t-shirts. They are paired with our grade 8s. Each peer counselor has 17 to 18 grade 8s on a buddy list, and throughout the year they're placed in classes with our grade 8s in applied skills, fine art rotations, skills center, or learning resource. And they also work in our special ed classes, and they work with the kids and talk with the kids about what's going on in the school. The selection for peer counseling reflects the diversity in our school. We're looking for language, we're looking for ethnic diversity, we're looking for sexual orientation. We're balancing on a number of variables. We do a two-day off-site retreat up at Cultus Lake. Two of us are co-facilitators for that. Our peer counselors also go to the grade 8 camp, which is the third week of September, also at Cultus Lake, and they sleep in the cabins with the students, and they get to know the kids that way. They're also on alert for things like bullying, signs of distress, and kids that have insomnia, can't sleep, etc. They do weekly teaching of lessons on bullying and anti-homophobia and other topics, and also practicing open communication and things like that. Again, we have the virtual forum. We also do collaboration and sharing, so ongoing meetings and virtual connections with key stakeholders, our administrators, we meet weekly, special ed department. I'm also involved in school-based team. We've done a collaborative inquiry regarding our school-based team. We're looking at triaging 1,600 students and which kids might be best served for educational psychological assessments and other follow-ups with other teams. Resource people in our school, Aboriginal mentors and teachers, career information, our nurse, and we're also working with a couple of universities. We work extensively with outside agencies. We're networking with our psychiatrists, with our mental health clinicians. We're on the phone with our doctors, pediatricians, and our mental health teams, and of course child and adolescent response team. We attend weekly and ongoing professional developments at Kelty, Children's Hospital, Vancouver Coastal Health, and anywhere we can find professional development. Within professional networks, we're looking at counseling department heads. Vancouver meets every monthly. Secondary counselors is a virtual network, and critical incident response team, of which I've been a member for 8 years. We're meeting also monthly. And Vancouver area counselors, which are elementary safe contact groups, and BC school counselors, etc. So key components of our program is regular teaching over time in a classroom setting. We get to know our kids, we know the kids' names. The kids then trust us, they come and see us. We learn the names and build relationships. We also meet virtually in other spaces, not in our offices. We'll meet them in the gym, we'll meet them at Starbucks, we'll meet them somewhere else. We have been known to do home visits. We have an educational component and ongoing staff development. We've brought in psychologists for our staff development a number of times. We've done suicide prevention with our staff, grade-wide alert meetings, and other things. We also educate the bystanders, so we talk about depression. We talk to all the kids about what is depression, what does it look like. We're showing them the little videos and things. We have a peer-to-peer support model. We're using data from our social responsibility and McCreary study to inform our practice. We allow student voice in a number of forums. One of the main keys that which is different than most schools, we allow students choice in whom they work with as a counselor. If we're finding that we're not connecting with a certain student, or the student prefers another counselor, we allow them to switch counselors. We will take the file and we will, the other person will work with them. Because sometimes we know that it's a forced situation, they will not connect with us. We've also recently started working with mental health awareness clubs, which are another club that's involved evolving through all the school districts. So next steps for our department is more engaging our parent community, suggesting speakers for PAC meetings. We're going to evaluate our counseling services by a number of stakeholders and planning a wellness retreat for ourselves. So questions that you might want to ask yourself, how are you knowing that you're meeting the needs of your mental health of your students? Who's monitoring the social media at your school? Do you network outside of your school and district? Have you provided training to your school administrators, teachers, and other frontline staff? Have you got trained peer leaders or counselors? Are they trained in mental health awareness, and are they recognizing signs of distress, including warning signs of suicide? Do you and your students know and understand the warning signs of people in crisis? And how will you break the silence among these important issues in your community? What education has your PAC or parent organization had in terms of mental health awareness? And we refer those people as well to KELTI, to the parent ambassadors. Substance abuse, recognizing signs of depression and psychosis. And as a counselor, how do you assist your clients that don't connect with you? So that's pretty much it.
Great, thank you, Nancy. We have a group here as our next speaker. So I'll introduce all three of you first, and then you can tell us a little bit more about why you're here and what you folks are doing at your school. So first we have Harriet Chang, and Harriet has been a school counselor and teacher in the Coquitlam School District for the last 20 years and has worked at all grade levels. And she's currently the counselor at Maple Creek Middle School. Harriet's focus is to empower students to make a positive difference in the lives of others and in their own lives. She'll be participating today with two of her leadership students who will be sharing their own personal experiences of being involved in the leadership program Real Acts of Caring, which promotes a sense of belonging and school and community connectedness. And so her two students, I'll introduce you to as well. So Asala Youssef is in grade 7 and attends Maple Creek Middle School. She's the youngest of three and is passionate about making a positive difference in her life and in the life of others. Asala is in French immersion, and in her spare time, she's involved in student leadership, including the Real Acts of Caring Club, Meet a Wee, Peer Mediation, and the Drama Club. Asala's played a very big role in promoting Real Acts of Caring, and will be flying with the group to Vernon next week to present in the hopes of presenting Real Acts of Caring Week all over BC. And last but not least, Carly Traub is in grade 7 and is also a student at Maple Creek Middle School. Carly is very involved in student leadership and is also a part of our Real Acts of Caring Club, Peer Mediation, and also What Would You Do? Drama Club. Carly is particularly strong in peer mediation and has been very instrumental in our program in stepping in and making a difference. Bullying issues in, I guess, Maple Creek Middle School have decreased significantly because of students like Carly. So welcome to all three of you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Azadeh, for introducing us. And Nancy, I am blown away by all of the things you said. I've been writing notes and wow, hats off to you. Oh my gosh. So I've been a school counselor for 20 years and I do a lot of programs at my school. One thing that we could talk for a long time about all things we do, but I really want to focus on the involvement of my students. So we have a lot of leadership students, and we actually have probably over 200 students at our school involved in leadership. And this is really building on their interpersonal skills, so building on who they can be inside, but also on their interpersonal, so how they connect with others and how they make a difference. A big focus of our programs is to build school connectedness. And when I talk about that, I'm really talking about creating that positive atmosphere where kids know that there's at least one staff member who cares about them as individuals and cares about them as in their terms of their academic learning. So we have all these things in place. One of our big focuses this year is Real Acts of Caring, or RAC for short. And the idea behind it is doing something kind for another and not expecting anything back in return. And we have 164 kids in that program alone. Every week, actually today we were at Starbucks, we become a verb, racking customers. So we went up to customers and did kind things and bought drinks for people. But we do something all the time. So every week we go out and do kind things. And the idea is to get the idea promoted to every school district in British Columbia. And this is coming from our students. So it's pretty exciting that it's a student-led initiative. And you know what? I'm going to stop talking and pass it over to these incredible young ladies here. So I'm just going to pass this over to Carly and Asala. So maybe I can get Carly to start and just talk a little bit about our Real Acts of Caring program.
Yeah, for sure. So as Ms. Chang said, RAC stands for Real Acts of Caring. And RAC is doing something nice for someone without expecting anything back in return. One of the main things that I've been focused on is the community connectedness, and I've been involved with doing a Starbucks rack. So Starbucks rack is when we get around 4 to 10 students, and we all bring in around $3, and for every dollar, Starbucks will double it. And so we go up to unsuspected strangers and we say with our Starbucks card, "Note that's on us." And the reaction is amazing. They're shocked, they're happy, some people even say, "No, you're too kind, I won't take it." One time we had a grade 8 boy who went up to an older man and he was like, "Yeah, today this is on me." And the older man was so happy and so shocked inside that he started crying. And our grade 8 boy started crying as well. And it was just incredible to see how RAC has changed our school in that way.
Wow, thank you so much, Carly. Asala, can you add your piece about how you're involved in leadership with RAC?
Yeah, of course. So I've really been focused on presenting and sharing RAC and trying to promote it. So I've presented in Richmond to the Safe School Coordinators of the Coast. And what we did was we talked to them about RAC Week, which is on February 14th to the 20th, 2016. And we really talked to them about RAC and how they can put a part in helping us promote it. Next week, I'm actually going to Vernon to present to the Safe School Coordinators of the Okanagan, and I'm going to be talking to them about RAC and promoting RAC as well. When I go up and present, I'm quite nervous, and you know, it's feelings like scary, right? But when I'm up there and presenting, it's just an amazing feeling inside because I'm sharing what I'm so passionate about, and like I want to share that about them. So there, I'm also a part of a RAC steering committee. So that RAC steering committee includes parents, teachers, students, former students. And what we do is we talk about RAC and we discuss how can we go and how can we become bigger and with RAC. Yeah, so I really like doing all that, and it's a big part of me, RAC.
You know, I need to point out, these two young ladies are 12 years old. Each of them is 12. Okay, and I feel I have to remind myself that they're 12 and not 17, because the things that they come out of their mouths, I just think, wow, I'm learning so much from you both. I guess, I'm an educator in the building, you guys are the students. How do we know that RAC is making a difference? How do we know? Maybe Carly, you can speak to that.
Yeah, so we have an MDI test, which is a middle development instrument, and the grade 7s take it at our school, and we have a status update from the past 5 years, from 2009 to 2014. So 5 years ago, students reporting feeling safe at school was only at a 73%, and in 2014, we went up to a 90%. And we have it that so that it's compared to SD43 altogether, and we went up so much, and it just shows how our programs work at our school and how they help with that. Another massive one that went up was students reporting liking school. And so in 2009, we were only at a 36%, and now in 2014, we're at a 57%. So it just shows how, like, wow, how incredible our programs have really helped our school.
And we should note that this is compared to the district average, and we do not see those increases to the same extent at all. And I'm not saying, I mean, there's a lot of schools in Coquitlam that are doing phenomenal things, but when you look at the district average, we're really jumping up ahead, and I think it's to do with our staff. We have incredible staff that have done so many great programs, getting kids involved, and really trying to create that sense of school connectedness. And RAC is one program, there are several. So we probably have, we have 10 leadership programs. We also have a whole bunch of sports. We have a whole bunch of clubs. And we have teachers and staff who genuinely care about kids. And yeah, so it's an incredible place to work. I don't know how we're doing for time, but can we? Yeah, we're good. Okay, so I just wanted to also mention that we have a program called Peer Mediation. And this is about getting a group of 34 kids involved in going and helping solve problems in peaceful ways. So they have, they're carefully selected. They have to go through quite an application and process. And we had 72 applicants, and we chose 34. So these are kids that are not top academic scholars, but they are very strong in leadership. They're just social responsibility, those kinds of kids who can solve problems on their own quite well already. And then they have some intense training, and then once they finish the training session, then they become our peer mediators. So would you guys like to talk about that?
Yeah, so me and Asala are both very involved in peer mediation. We're both managers. And so peer mediation is when on a certain day at lunch, we go around the school and we make sure everything's okay. We're kind of like peer counselors, and we go around and we talk to kids who we think need help, and we're always there for them when teachers or they're not comfortable going to them and they just want to go to a friend. So we're both managers, and a manager position is when you kind of look over a group of peer mediators. So we're kind of like their guide, their leader, and they come to us with questions, they come to us with reports, it's
Do you think really kids come to you guys more than teachers sometimes?
Sometimes I do, because we feel connected because we're the same age as them, and they feel more comfortable to come to us and to talk to us about the problems they're having. And I've really noticed that it feels great to be able to solve problems in peaceful ways, and that feeling inside of you knowing that you can do that and you've just made someone's day better and their lives are getting better because you've done that is just incredible.
Yeah. But the serious problems you guys always would let us
know. Yes, of course.
More than minor stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, just one final thing. Grade 6 Leadership is another program. I'm just highlighting some that I'm working with. There's so many, though. There's so many other great things going on at our school. Grade 6 Leadership, our school is grade 6, 7, and 8. So grade 6 is, we found, were being kind of, they didn't get involved because they're only grade 6 and they were little and they were young. Grade 7s and 8s did, but not grade 6s. We realized that this was an incredible untapped resource, because those grade 6s knew our incoming grade 5s better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Our grade 5s were, some of them, quite anxious about leaving elementary and going to middle school. So we got a whole bunch of grade 6s. Only grade 6s can join grade 6 leadership. Those kids have some special training again, and then they go and visit the feeder schools, and talk to those kids. So do you want to just really quickly talk about that piece?
Sure. Because I was in grade 6 leadership, and I know how it felt to do that transition of being in grade 5 in an elementary school to being the younger one in grade 6. So what we do is we go to our feeder schools and we talk to them and make them feel more comfortable in their middle school. And we really let them know and try to make their stress level a little less. And you know, I think it's really worked, because students are now like feeling more less stressed, and they're gonna be able to go into middle school knowing, okay, this is gonna be okay, and it's gonna be fun for me. Yeah, so I really.
Well, you guys
that.
Know the grade. Yeah. You understand it better than mm-hmm. any of us would, because we're educators.
It definitely
students.
Helped. Yeah. 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 It was great. Okay. I also wanted to add about the bully prevention. How much RAC has supported bully prevention, because it's taught kids and students around our school to be more caring and kind to the peers around them, and it's just been amazing the difference with bully.
So it gives them something to do. So we're with bully prevention, we're always teaching what not mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
Whereas with RAC, we're giving kids ways to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, and opportunities to experience how good it feels to RAC.
To be mm-hmm. to be kind.
Yeah, and a lot of our biggest bullies have become our best RACers.
Like. Racking has become a verb.
Yeah.
Going racking.
People
we
are
racked
using,
her.
Yeah, people are using it around the school now. Oh, yay, I'm going racking now.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to make people's days.
Or I used to be a bully, now I'm a racker. Or I got racked. Look. It's, so it's mm-hmm. becoming a definitely common language.
And the smiles on their faces is
it's really changed.
Priceless. Yeah.
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 Okay, we could go on and on. I'm sure we're out of time, so we just have fun talking about this. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. Mm-hmm.
So our next speaker is joining us over the phone. So Dan Nixon is an active mental health advocate. He has helped create and run many initiatives at his school and is very excited to see what his future journeys with mental health advocacy will bring. So welcome, Dan. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what's going on at your school.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm going to start about a year ago, because that's really when mental health kind of picked up at our school. A good friend held a kind of assembly type thing with workshops, and I volunteered and it was great, and it was definitely a learning experience because the amount of kids that didn't go or didn't have an impact on was about equal with the kids that did have an impact on, so we wanted to improve there. And then we kind of just floated through the rest of that year. But then we got the invitation to go to Balancing Our Minds, and we went, and it was amazing. And then actually two other friends on the way home from Balancing Our Minds said, we want to do an assembly again, and we want to make a difference, and we want to make a change. And so we held our first assembly, and planning was awesome. We worked, we got healthcare professionals, past students, current students, and teachers to speak on mental health and mental wellness. And it just kind of kick-started our passion. So after the assembly, we created a wellness group, which met every Friday at lunch just to check in with everyone, plan future initiatives, and see what was going on. And it's just, our school has so many resources already set up for us that we just needed teacher support, and then the teachers altered them a little bit. So we usually had a leadership retreat, but we changed it to a wellness retreat and spent 2 days just of mindfulness practices and learning to love yourself and everything, and it was great. And we got back and it continued, but we wanted to make sure that we were really getting in touch with all the students in the school. So we started a peer listeners program, which was fun to try to get up and going. We kind of were lost about where to go, but now we have our rhythm and it's really taken off. And actually, I just actually got back. We had an assembly this morning for our grade 9, kind of like a repeat of last year, just to introduce them into our community and let them know that mental health is a priority to us. So that was great. We did an assembly this morning, followed by some workshops talking about body image, respecting your physical body, as well as mindfulness and many other things. And then just in the future, we have so many young, passionate kids. I'm in grade 12, so I won't be here next year, but the grade 9, 10s, and 11s are just going to just expand and expand and expand. And it's just going to be great to see. And also, one of our greatest tools is a good friend is a very talented video editor. So we've been producing videos around mental health, and we actually got featured on Bell Let's Talk last year. So that was really great to see that our videos were making an impact, not just in our school, but around the country. That's kind of what I have to say.
Dan, are those videos still available online?
They are.
And they're on the Bell Let's Talk website?
They are.
And is there like a keyword that we could use to find it?
Why?
Mental Health Interview 2015.
Okay, great. And I just, you mentioned Balancing Our Minds, and we have the project manager for Balancing Our Minds here, so I thought it would be a good opportunity for those of you that are in the room or on the phone or via telehealth that might not necessarily know about the Balancing Our Minds event. Michelle, do you mind?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Dan. And I am not sure others in the room if you're working directly in schools, but for the past 4 years, actually, or last 3 years, we've had a youth summit. And the last 2 years it's been hosted at Rogers Arena. And so last year we had around 1,500 high school age students and their counselors and teachers and parents come together at Rogers Arena to kind of have an open dialogue around mental health and promoting mental wellness in school communities. A lot of it is based around stories, like people sharing their personal stories and learning from each other about, breaking down stigma and strategies for maintaining wellness. So we will be having that event again when you mentioned it, Dan, I don't have a date yet, but it will be in February, and I hope to have a date very, very soon. And we'll send it out through the Kelty newsletter, all the information about that.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Michelle. And thank you, Dan. I can't remember if I thanked you, so thank you again. So we have lots of time now for questions, and that was a bit purposeful because I think that we heard a lot of interesting ideas, and we wanted to leave a lot of time so people could ask some more questions about how they might be able to implement some of these ideas in their schools. So I guess we'll start with telehealth. Salmon Arm and Powell River, if you have a question or a comment for our speakers, you can just unmute yourselves. And if not, maybe you can just wave so we know that you're okay. Okay, we can come back to you as well.
Go ahead. I do have a question.
Sure.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my question is, I've heard of the EDI, but not the MDI. So my question is, I guess, for the young students and their teacher from Coquitlam. Is that something that's done in all the middle schools or just yours? And maybe just tell us a bit about that if you don't mind. And I want to say to Nancy, the first lady, wow, we were trying to take notes. You had a lot of good stuff to say. And what's that?
And she emailed.
Yeah, if you've got your notes typed up, we'd love them. And Dan, we think you're great. That's it.
Okay, maybe I can start talking about the MDI. I'm certainly not the MDI expert. I know that this is something that it's an instrument that's used in the Coquitlam School District to measure how kids are feeling in terms of social responsibility. It's not an academic measurement at all. It's an assessment that MDI stands for Middle Development Instrument. Okay. And so what we do is, right now we're doing it with our kids. So they go through a series of questions and they ask how they're feeling. Are they being bothered by other students? Do they feel safe? Are they being picked on? Are they being teased? Just because we want to understand where they're coming from. We want to understand how they're feeling. So as Carly already pointed out, we had back in 5 years ago, so students reported feeling, when asked, did they feel safe at school? Only 73% were saying that they did, and then it jumped up to 95 years later. So again, we have a whole lot of programs at our school. RAC is only one of them, but I think all of them, the whole umbrella is really supporting our kids. And the nice thing about it is because we have such a variety of programs, a whole lot of kids get involved. So it's very rare to talk to one of our students and, oh yeah, I'm not in anything. It just doesn't really happen. And if they're not, why not? You need to join. Well, what about this? So getting kids involved. We had another measure that was looking at students reporting feeling welcome at school, and that's one thing we're really focusing on, greeting kids at the door, saying hello, how are you? So that jumped from 71 to 80% of kids felt welcome. Again, the district average was 76 to start off with, but they're at 77. So they jumped up 1% in 5 years, and we've jumped up 9. So I don't know, we feel proud of ourselves. Okay, we've been trying really hard. And then again, Carly talked about liking school, jumped up from 36 to 57. That's just crazy high, we think. We're just so pleased about that. And then kids reporting feeling, students reporting two or more kids, or sorry, adults at school care about them. 5 years ago, it had been 81%, and now it's at 89. Okay. And the district average didn't change. It was 86%. Students reporting being bullied, teased, or picked on. 5 years ago, 7% were reporting that, which is way too high in my opinion. It shouldn't be that. And it's dropped to 5, so we're still working on that. And one of the programs that they talked about, the peer mediators, is really focusing on that. So I don't know if, I'm sorry I can't speak more about MDI, but if you go online, there's way more information that I just shared about what it is and how it works. But yeah, we do have it in Coquitlam for sure.
Thank you. Are there folks in the room that have questions for our speakers?
I have a question. We at our school, we have something called a random act of kindness week, not a real act of kindness week. And I really like your real acts, not your random, because it seems, I don't know. And I like the way that you're going out into the community too. We don't do that in our school. It's just within our school walls. So I'm just wondering, like throughout the year, is this happening inside and outside of school? And then during your random act of kind or your real act of kindness week, what are you doing so that we can maybe borrow some of your ideas?
Really good questions.
Too. Yeah.
The name change for us, random acts of kindness. The students had big, this has been happening for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Began with a group of, I read a Chicken Soup for the Soul story about random acts of kindness to a group of they were grade 4 and 5 students. And they said, oh, this is a great idea. We should have it in our classroom. And then they said, well, actually, no, we should spread it beyond outside of the school. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? I'm thinking, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I'm so busy. And they said, we'll make posters and we'll put it on the side of your van and you can drive up and down all the roads. Great. So they ended up lobbying with our local mayor and had a proclamation passed for Port Coquitlam, which was really exciting. And I thought it was just sort of going to stay that size. But then it got bigger, more kids joined, and then they started talking about the name. So now we're talking a little bit older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, you know, we don't actually like the name Random Acts of Kindness mm-hmm. because we plan,
yes.
we decide, and then we carry them out, yeah. and it's not random. We
yeah.
don't feel comfortable with that name.
Yeah.
So can we change the name to Real Acts of Caring? Because
yeah.
we feel that that fits what we're doing better. And I said, you guys own this?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the shirts, if you want to just stand up and show, these were designed by students. So it's a beautiful design. I don't know if you want to share the
camera. Yeah, the camera's going.
Okay, so it's a beautiful design. So this is created by 7 students all working together. And so we have our RAC week that's highlighted from the 14th to the 20th, 2016 this year. And we're trying to promote that all over British Columbia. Students again are wanting to do this. And again, I was kind of scared thinking, what the heck? This is really, really huge and scary. But it's actually incredibly exciting. And they're in the works of getting a provincial proclamation passed at the moment. So really hoping that that comes through. But you asked about the things that we do. So we actually have 164 kids involved. And every month there's different things that we do. So we're focusing on Starbucks. And a lot of people say, well, why Starbucks? Well, they match us dollar for dollar. So but there's a partnership there. And they're very supportive and they always have been. And I can't speak highly enough of what they've done for us. And they've tolerated some of our kids, the chaos that happens when you go up
yeah,
in there and slow the line down a little bit. And the customers are really supportive too. So it's been a very positive experience for us. In December, we're going carol singing, so we're getting a whole lot of kids out in our school community up and down the streets. January, a lot of the kids are involved in city council presentations, so a lot of presenting piece. February, we go to our elderly home. The homes, there's several in our area, so we take flowers and cards and sing with them. March is off just because it's only a short month with a two-week holiday this year. April, we're going to the SPCA. They're coming to our school with pets, and they're going to be in this school. 97 kids signed up for that, so they're going to be petting dogs and cats, and they raise money and bring in things for the SPCA. And then in May, we have a great big leadership group that is going to be going up to our neighboring elementary school and racking those kids there and bringing some of them over to our school. So every year the kids decide on what they want to do. One year we had holiday messages, so I had kids spending hours and hours putting kind holiday messages in every single kid's locker, and they slipped them in at night, and then the next morning it was just crazy because kids all came in and they opened the lockers. They had these kind little cards from all the people in the school, from a group, and they weren't signed by anyone, so they were like, wow, this is so cool. Did you get one? Yeah, I got one. And one of our special needs boy was walking up another from school, waving his, going, look what I got! And he was so excited about that. So the kids decide on what they want to do and then they carry it. But there's actually a website that we've created.
Okay.
Kids helped me because I'm not very savvy at all.
Yeah.
And it's, if you just Google Real Acts of Caring,
okay.
there's a website and it's got 76 ideas that the kids have actually, 77, they just added one, that they decided was the best ones that they've come up with.
Cool.
Yeah, so
great.
You can check that out.
Thank you.
Great. Others in the room with questions for our speakers?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everything's been really wonderful, but my question for the 6, 7, 8 fantastic rackers, then they have to go into grade 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
So my question is, all that fantastic energy and good feeling and intra, could get sabotaged. So, and that's of course when we see so much anxiety and depression and all that stuff really being highlighted, as Nancy knows. So are there projects that feed from grade 9 or 10 into the middle school just to help that?
That is something that we're working on right now. And what's happened is one of our high schools that our students are going to, Charles Best, Dr. Charles Best Secondary School, we have a group of students who are now, they're former RACers, and now they're at Charles Best. We don't have a RAC program at Charles Best, but there are programs that are very similar, so Dare to Care is one. So they are continuing to do those kind things. We actually had a group of kids who set up shop in front of a Crossroads Society group in Coquitlam, and they set up a... Oh. Hi! Do you want me to talk? Can you see me?
What? Oh, no. It's,
I can't see.
We're waving.
It's on there. We have to sign off.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
So frantic waving. Thank you.
Hi.
It's a little scary.
So they set up a table in front of this shop. It's a charity shop to raise money for the Hospice Society. And so they did a whole bunch of baking. They did special baking, nut-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free. And all these people bought items from them, and they raised something like $171. And these are kids from our school. They just chose to do this. And then the $171 that they raised after sitting there for a very rainy day, they donated 100% to the charity shop. So there's things that they've done like that. And I know that at Pine Tree Secondary School, they do actually have a club now that, or they did, called Real Acts of Caring. And Terry Fox Secondary, same thing. So they've done a Real Acts of Caring group there as well. So it does carry on because so many kids are getting involved. And this is a program that's spreading all over SD43, so the Coquitlam School District. It is not just at Maple Creek. It is at many schools now. And people will email us and share the stories. And again, with the website, we actually have a little contest now. The best story, the best photo, $500. So we've been applying for grants. And that's really, really helped us to promote the program because more and more kids are getting involved, more teachers. Yeah, so it's just really spread. Yeah.
Other questions from the room?
I feel like you have something to say, Michelle. Well, I was just wondering if Nancy, you wanted to speak to that last one as well, just kind of that, about that transition or
in high school.
Yeah, or
moving up to the high school. Yeah, we're getting more clubs starting up at the school, but I think the link between the we have elementary and secondary in Vancouver. We don't have any middle schools, so it's is a jump, right, for the kids. And if they've joined things in their elementary school, it's sort of a big on to get into the high school. So we're trying to open more clubs, like our QSA or GSA is just expanded quite a bit this year. That's a place for kids. We offer we have kids in theater and a lot of fine arts programs that they join as well, and just trying to get them involved in something at the school level. But we don't have anything like similar to your program, so it sounds very good.
I think I love middle school because we have this incredible energetic group of teachers and students that are old enough to take on things. But I was just going to ask you, if that's okay, the transition from for me, I remember the transition from elementary going to high school was horrendous. And I'm just wondering how you support that transition. Right? Maybe you can get some ideas to help with our grade 6 leadership.
Well, we have these events, like the barbecue, we have the camp. Half of our kids don't come from our feeder schools at this point. So the problem is we're getting kids from a number of various schools in the district and outside of our district as well. So we don't, it's sort of like the 50% mystery group that we don't know where they've come, we don't know their history, they don't know anyone sometimes in the building. But this, having the peer counselor, it's similar to your group. We have a shirt that they've designed and we screen those kids very thoroughly. Those kids, we give a lot of leadership to, and they check up on those 18 kids in grade 8. So they run around, they have a block where they're assigned to a class.
Oh.
Fridays they're off, they can meet the kids at lunch after school, we have a silent reading period, breaks, and or in a club, or take them to a team or whatever. So those kids are supposed to check on those kids and find out like who are they, what are they doing, is everything okay, have they got any issues, or do they want to join a club? And because they're visible in the school, they're in the grad hall, other kids do go seek them out as well, like different grades as well. We're looking at having a mental health advocate person as well that's independent of our peer counseling and our counseling department and our student council. Something that I heard at a Kelty Pinwheel, the girl that was Maddie who came and presented, I'd like to have a mental health advocate office, a sort of an ombudsman person who the kids could seek out and get assistance from if they're uncomfortable seeking it from any of our peer counselors or any of our counseling staff.
Wow.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's where I'm kind of heading towards.
Love it. That's excellent stuff.
Great. Thank you, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments from the room or on the phone?
Yeah. I'm curious about the educate the bystander, mm-hmm. which sounds that has incredible capacity. Mm-hmm. How busy is that
program? Well, we do like our anti-bullying program. We're educating all the kids as to what bullying looks like and how what it is. We do role playing. We do small collaborative groups. So the kids will actually create a scenario like what. Like give an example of when you were bullied, or they make up a fake scenario. We've got a lot of theater kids in our school, so they like to act and do role plays. And then we're training all the kids to look for signs when someone is being targeted or bullied. We also, so that our regular students, I have 400 students in my grade, all of my kids have done this, so they will notice other students in my building. So they'll notice a grade 8 kid that is getting bullied potentially, or a grade 12 student, or another grade student, or maybe the newcomer that just arrived, or an international student who's being, you know, approached for money or something's happening with them. So I think just by having the awareness of the entire group, it's the same thing with teaching kids about what is depression, what does it look like, what is anxiety. They will see the kid having the panic attack on the lower floor before any of us will find that student. So they'll intervene, they'll bring that kid up to us, or they'll bring them to the first aid, so that that student will receive attention, because in our building, we're geographically at the far end of a huge building. We can't possibly know what's going on all around us at all times. So we have to rely on the kids to let us know. We also train the first aid staff and other workers, and frontline workers, our youth and family workers, our special ed assistants, so that all these eyes are out there looking for these things in our building.
I'm just wondering if Carly and Asala can talk about that as well, because they've got some things to share about the bystander.
Yeah, because we also have a What Would You Do Club in our school. Basically, the What Would You Do Club is where anybody can join to come in, and people suggest role plays, difficult, awkward situations, which they've been given, and we try to solve them, and we go up and we do role plays. And if they need advice, then people can say, oh, how about be better to solve that problem in this way or that way? And we get to discuss different role plays, and it's really helpful to our lives to be able to solve those problems on our daily basis.
Yeah, it's also really helped us with like peer mediation. It's given us those skills that we can use. It's just another training way. We have a lot of acronyms at our school. One of the ones that we have for bystanders is SLED, which is scared, lazy, entertained, or don't know what to do, is what we call our bystanders when they don't step in and try and help.
Scared, lazy,
SLED. So these are reasons why people don't step in.
And we try
Scared. You say it again.
Scared, lazy, entertained, and don't know what to do. So we try to get that out, and so people know about that and don't do that, because we have signs all around our school about SLED.
Yeah. And so we have a problem-solving strategy. We use LEAD, so it was based. It's actually developed in Victoria. So do you guys want to tell them what LEAD stands for?
It's look and listen, explore our points of views, act, did it work, and seek advice if needed. So that really helps people get advice and really has a pusher to help solve problems.
Yeah, so I go into the classes and everybody in the whole school gets to listen to me, put up with me, and then they all get tested on this. So they have to know what LEAD stands for. They have to know what SLED is. Mm-hmm. So I always say to them, SLED, you can't jump on the sled and get away from the situation. It's just wrong. The D, don't know what to do, should not be a reason ever for being not getting involved, because you all do. They all had the test and they all understand what it is. Yeah, so LEADS is posted everywhere in every kid's planner. The noon hour supervisors at lunch, they go in, they promote it. It's on the walls. It's sent home in newsletters. They all know it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask one question? I'm sorry for being late. So I apologize, but so I missed some of what you had shared, and I hope somebody took notes that they can share with me. It sounds like there was a lot there. What I'm curious about a bit is I've known of so many great things happening here, and I'm trying to map it all on and figure out how it all connects. And so I'm curious, for those of you who shared, you're sharing so many, I'm writing like long lists of things happening and acronyms. How do you map it in your mind? Like, do you map it by time in the year? How do you see all these pieces fitting together in your conception of it? Because I'm very curious about that.
I think that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both of you, but I think that would be helpful for
I went back to university a couple of years ago and put on a new lens, and then I always use multiple lenses, so I look at it as an educator, as a counselor, as a parent, you know, all the different ways that I can look at the issue, the problem, and then I try to hone in on the commonalities. What would I need to do as a parent, as an individual, as a friend? And then try to find the common threads. That's how I use it. That's how I do it. But in terms of like issues to work on, we also use instruments like our social responsibility data, like data that we have, which similar questions to the middle years instruments. We're looking at school safety and things like that, which what data we need to improve on. We get feedback from the kids. The kids tell us what's going on. You know, we get feedback from the teachers, but we also look at what the staff are saying, and I think we need to increase what the parents, find out what the parents, do more work with their parents.
I was just thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking, we've talked about a lot of things. You've talked about so many things. It's amazing. This didn't happen overnight. I've been a school counselor for 20 years, and I'm sure you've been for a long time because you're so experienced. This is something that, it's a language that develops over time, and so you have things in place already, and people come and you think, okay, yeah, we're going to work on this. New kids come, new other kids exit, and you improve parts. I mean, RAC are huge focuses all year long, but of course in February, there's a lot of lead up to that. Peer mediation, the training happens in May and June because they have to be ready for September when we get those new groups of kids coming in. The grade 6 leadership, again, that has to happen in the late spring so that those kids are ready. So you just get used to thinking, okay, this time of year, that's what we're going to focus on. And I'm sure that's the same with you.
Similar, very similar. The spring is the training and the selection of kids for the following year.
Right.
They have it all in place for the next year.
Yeah.
So I'm recognizing that we're a bit low on time, so I'm just going to unmute us one more time here. And Dan, I just wanted to give you an opportunity that I'm sure you've been hearing what we've been talking about here, and did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Just that it's really great stuff.
Thank you. It's just about 1 o'clock now, so I think we'll wrap up. If there was a question that you had or a comment that you weren't able to say here today, then you can always email the Kelty Center. And thank you very much to all of our speakers who took time out of their day to be here today. And we hope to see you soon.
Thank you.